Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy, and as we pointed out during Crosstalk, we are fair and balanced.
I don't know if that's really true.
That phrase is now available, and we stole it.
You may as well just go home. You've performed your comedic duty for the day. Steve Bertrand, we're on the cusp of Father's Day weekend. We wish you an early Happy Father's Day, Steve, and Bill,
happy
you as
Father's
well.
Happy Father's Day, Steve Bertrand.
Thanks. I'm happy to say I wasn't an early father, so.
No, that's fine.
Appreciate that.
We're not making a judgment.
I can appreciate that as well.
Well, there is a guy in charge of maintenance here in the building named Mike, and he was in here.
Sweet man, by the way. Don't you find him to be?
I do. He's nice, but he's very... to himself.
Yes.
You know, not a lot of conversation.
Himself. Yep.
We really haven't talked too much. You know, we say hi, Mike. He says hi back.
Right.
He smiles and moves on.
That's all.
Well, Bill cracked him up this morning.
Yes,
you are so weird.
But for a weird reason. I don't know why.
Happy Father's Day, Mike. And he said, thank you. And Bill's like, oh, do you have kids?
Yeah.
How old are they? And Mike says, how old are you? Bill answers the question, and he's like, well, they're not that old, but they're close.
Right.
So I'm like, well, have a great weekend. And you said?
Have some perch.
And he looked at you and laughed.
Yeah. I don't know that anyone's ever convinced him that he should enjoy Father's Day with some perch, but you could see like a light bulb go on, like, boy, that would be quite a way to spend the Father's Day would be with some perch. So I wouldn't be shocked if you had some.
Did you ever see Being John Malkovich?
Yeah, I love that movie.
They should do a Being Bill Leff.
Sci-fi.
I would love to see your portal.
Well, that's personal. I think...
you are so weird yet funny.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know what happened in your neck of the woods, Wendy, but where I live in Evanston, and my block is fine. Like, you could ride down my block, and it looks like it looked yesterday or the day before. But if you go two blocks over...
Microburst.
It's insane. There's trees down everywhere, but we were not touched. I mean, we got rain, and it was, you know, a weird color for a while. There was storms, but a couple of blocks away, you can't even pass down the streets. There's trees down every place.
These microbursts happen, and look at tornado damage. Sometimes you have a house not touched and things destroyed like 10 feet away.
Right.
We had some storm in Norman, but it didn't disrupt
nothing
anything.
Severe, right?
Did
I
you
heard
lose
one of
power?
The best thunder cracks ever yesterday
did
afternoon.
You?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah?
Simultaneous flash and bang.
I heard a pretty good one myself, and my son Michael, my older son, who's very smart, says, is it raining?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
I guess you could have thunder and lightning before
you
the
could.
Rain.
Yeah, you certainly could.
But yeah, that was the best question I ever got.
They showed on the news because I didn't know how severe it was. I certainly knew that we had a storm.
It was a brewing when we were at work.
Right. And actually, my wife and I had lunch in a restaurant, and we were considering as we approached the restaurant for lunch, we thought we should eat outside. And then Terry said, no, you know what? It's too hot. Let's eat inside. Within about 6 or 7 minutes, it went from incredibly sunny and warm to much, much colder and gray and just torrential downpour in about 6 or 7 minutes out of nowhere.
I did like the temperature change.
Yeah, that was nice. That was refreshing. That was. But then in the 10 o'clock news, they were showing various parts of our area and then more downstate that had been hit the hardest. And I didn't think Evanston had been hit hard at all because our block, like I said, there wasn't really anything. So they showed this one guy in Evanston. He took a picture. The sidewalk was like it looked like there had been an earthquake. The sidewalk was all uprooted because the tree that was near the sidewalk was uprooted, so that tore up the sidewalk, but it just looked awful.
I have that story for you from CBS Local. A massive cleanup effort was underway in North Suburban Evanston after an apparent microburst during a brief but powerful storm. It ripped up trees, left behind flooded streets. The storm only lasted about 30 minutes, but toppled dozens of trees, uprooting portions of a sidewalk and damaging a playground.
Are they showing the picture?
Can you
see the picture? Doesn't it look like there was an earthquake there?
So when the tree was knocked down, the giant roots lifted up and knocked the...
That's it, exactly.
That bumped the sidewalk
and
out of place.
And to answer your son's question, because he just texted in, yes, it was raining. There was actual rain there.
Ours was very brief over in LaGrange, and there was... I like a thunderstorm when I'm at home and everyone in my family's at home. All my birdies are in the nest.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope we never lose power. That's the bad thing, especially right. when it's hot and muggy. You need your AC, and we don't have a generator.
Our boss, Todd Manley, lives a few blocks away from me, was without power for 9 hours yesterday. So it just shows you, depending on where you live, it's the luck of the draw. You can either have almost no damage at all, or you can have extensive damage.
Are you such a suck-up that you moved in next to the boss?
I helped with the cleanup. I mean, call me a suck-up if you want to, but yeah, I helped with the cleanup.
One Evanston man said he had to ride his motorcycle to work today because his car was parked between two downed trees and he couldn't get out.
Oh.
How many people have a backup motorcycle? Good for him.
That's standard in Evanston, Wendy. I know a lot of towns don't have that, but in Evanston, you see that a lot, is we all have backup motorcycles.
Because of the prevalence of parking availability,
yes,
right?
Yes, there's plenty of parking.
Right.
Yeah.
And other people had trees fall on their house. It is really scary.
Oh, awful. Yeah.
And they can predict thunderstorms and everything, but I don't know. Can you predict? I don't think you can predict a microburst.
I don't even know what. I know this is a question.
We got to get Skilling.
Better for Tom Skilling, or Andy Avalos, or that guy who looks like Fred Flintstone over on Fox. They would know the answer to this, but I don't know the answer to this. Where does this come from? You hear about it a couple times a year, but I don't know what causes it.
Kevin, we have to get a meteorologist on the line, stat, because I know, you know, come on. Things have changed so much with forecasting weather that they can say thunderstorms coming your way tonight and possibly a tornado.
Right.
But the microburst just kind of happens.
Right.
I can predict the microburst. There's going to be one tomorrow. There, I predicted.
You predict? Well, all right.
What if there is one and there's devastation? Won't you feel terrible about that?
I'll ask for a pay raise first.
Well, right. You didn't pinpoint the area. You just a blanket statement
don't
somewhere.
Don't nail me too down.
Other than Tom Skilling,
yeah.
Maybe Andy Avalos,
yeah.
Just because I like him.
Yeah.
You can be wrong every single day, and it's not their fault because they're predicting what radar says, but
right.
Weather's unpredictable. You can
so
be
true.
Wrong every day.
So true.
We're in luck.
I always think that's why so much of the weather is them telling you what already happened that day. I mean, when you think about it, you don't need to see that because you've already experienced that day's weather, but watch any of the newscasts. Much of the weathercast is them telling you what already happened, just
well,
so they
have a forecast too.
They do have a forecast of what's coming, but I always wonder about why are we sitting through what we've already experienced? We know what it was like today.
Because you want to see what happened. If you're in Evanston and your tree uprooted your sidewalk, you want to hear aftermath.
For extremes like yesterday, I'm fine with it. But on an average day when, you know, it's 75 degrees and nothing extraordinary happens, I always sit there going, why are they showing me this? I know this. I saw this already.
It's because the weathermen don't get boutonnieres at schools anymore.
Right.
So they've got all that extra time.
Right. There was
explain
a
that.
All right,
so Harry Volkman for one.
You
right?
had Harry Volkman on any day. It was just like a common thing. He would show up to some school, and somebody would put a boutonniere on him, and they would show that as part of the weather.
I got this lovely boutonniere in Elmwood Park today.
Right.
I think they should bring that back. All right, 312-981-7200. We are not storm watch. We're storm. What are we? What's the past tense of watching?
We're storm sawers.
What?
Storm voyeur.
Storm voyeurs. That's what we are.
Makes it sound more continental.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, it does.
It's hard to say, though. Storm voyeurs.
And it has a weird sexual innuendo that I'm not comfortable with.
Well, you know, when you're on storm watch, we're on storm cleanup. How's that?
That's better, yeah.
All right, Bill and Wendy, Storm Cleanup 2017, WGN Radio.
It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We're either fair or balanced. We can't remember which one, but we're one of them for sure. And we're talking about the storms that took place yesterday.
All right, you did not have a power outage in Evanston.
We didn't, but people, like I said, our boss, Todd, 9 hours without power last night.
How'd you fare, Charlie?
Pardon? Here in New Lenox, we had about 5:30 yesterday afternoon or evening to about past midnight.
Right,
about 5.5 hours of power out. We must have had a pretty good storm here in New Lenox and probably East Joliet. It took something down. We never hear anybody. Nobody ever thinks anybody lives out here in New Lenox Will County.
But they do.
Yeah,
we know
do,
that.
But
yeah.
Everybody's talking about the north side. Counties and this and this and this and we can check out here too, but never hear anybody.
Did you have a microburst though? Because that's what all the
I have
hubbub.
No idea where it went down.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're okay.
Oh, yeah, we survived, yeah.
All right,
but
well,
we
that's...
had a pretty good rain, too.
Sounds like it. Well,
yeah,
thanks,
yeah.
Charlie. Happy Father's Day, and like I said earlier, enjoy some perch.
Well, happy Father's all Day right. to all the fathers up there, too.
That's very nice
You're
of
so
you.
So sweet.
North side and south side.
Both,
and,
yes.
And have a good 17.
All right, absolutely.
Not the day, the year.
Oh, thank you
so much.
The
entire year. Thank you, Charlie.
Gotcha.
Take care.
What a pleasant man. He just wanted to feel included,
Absolutely.
Which is what we all want to do.
Everybody wants that, Wendy.
But I don't know if there, you know, if there was a microburst happening in New Lenox.
I don't think there was. I think those were few and far between yesterday. And in the news yesterday, because I flipped around a little bit at 10 o'clock, they were certainly covering both, you know, the power outages and any of the storms on both the north and the south side. They weren't showing favoritism.
Not
a lot of downstate
partisan.
Problems, too, yesterday. A lot of downstate storms as well. So, yeah, they were doing their best to cover all that.
I'm trying to look at what a microburst is, a sudden, powerful, localized air current, especially a downdraft. So just the way a storm is rolling in, you know, I know with tornadoes, it just kind of comes down from a storm cloud. You can see the funnel
right.
happening. This just is like when the winds meet, it's just... Boom, targets an area.
All right, so here's a question that may either be the best question of the day or the silliest, and I don't know which it is. But which causes which? Like when you get one of these microbursts, is it the microburst that causes the temperature to change so rapidly, or is it the other way around?
A microburst, Bill, is a localized column of sinking air within a thunderstorm and is usually less than or equal to 2.5 miles in diameter. Microbursts can cause extensive damage at the surface and in some instances, God, can be life-threatening. Two primary types, wet microbursts and dry microbursts.
Oh.
Wet ones are accompanied by significant precipitation and are common in the southeast during the summer months. What causes it? This is interesting.
Yeah.
The development, it starts with the development of a thunderstorm and the water droplets slash hailstones being suspended within the updraft. Sometimes an updraft is so strong it suspends large amounts of these droplets and hailstones in the upper portions of the thunderstorms. And then there's cool sinking air. So I believe the answer to your question is when the temperature drops, That's what causes it. Same thing with tornadoes. When, you know, you have a really hot summer day and all of a sudden you feel the temperature drop several degrees.
Right.
Be on the lookout. Batten down the hatches because...
Trouble ahead.
Those, I don't know what they're called. The inconsistencies come together to form a storm.
Oh.
I don't know if Skilling is listening.
If he's listening, he's excited right now.
I hope Kevin didn't bother to call him because it was just a wasted call.
There's no place
to. I've watched his tornado specials.
Yeah.
My dad was civil defense director in Brookfield when I was growing up. I don't know why, but I was deathly afraid of tornadoes. I saw a funnel cloud over my neighbor's house. It didn't turn into a tornado because it never touched ground.
Right.
But, you know, you're out playing in the park. You look up and you see this funnel cloud.
It
freaks you out.
Sure. Of course.
I have a total irrational fear. I know that they can cause major damage, but I mean, if I hear the siren, I am in the basement with a cell phone, a flashlight.
And a whistle.
I don't have a whistle.
You should have a helmet and a whistle.
I have a radio, a battery-powered radio.
Oh, nice.
Of course, the batteries are never working when you need them. I'm going to hide some in the basement. That's what I'm going to do.
That's a good idea. All right, we must take a break, and then there's a lot more talk coming your way next, so stick around. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And I can't remember the statistics, but the percentage of time that we as commuters are in our car per year is astounding.
Mm-hmm.
We're in our car all the time. I find myself hating people that drive in front of me. Either they won't let you in when you're doing the zipper pattern, or somebody will cut you off, or someone will flip you off.
That'll happen, sure.
I used to be that woman. I don't do it anymore because I'm scared of road rage escalating into road death. Dirk Novell is on the line with us. Dirk is normally a loan officer, but you've just written a book called Road Rage Justified, 50 Rules Every Driver Should Follow. How are you, Dirk?
Good, Wendy. Thanks for having me on.
Now, let me just point out right now, Dirk is not condoning road rage in any way, shape, or form, but he will help us he'll point out the everyday mistakes that people make that lead to road rage. Is that what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, well, we can talk about whatever you guys want, but it's the book's about kind of just social etiquette of driving, and I capped it at 50. But yeah, 50 things that I think people do that maybe cause different minor forms of road rage and major forms.
Dirk, we were taught in driver's ed years ago that you want to be a defensive driver. Has that changed at all? Is that intensified? Where does that stand?
You know, I don't. I think defensive can be translated to dangerous too. I mean, I think, you know, I go to LA a lot, and I notice aggressive or faster driving down there, and I don't necessarily think it's more dangerous. So I think just aware, I don't know if I would say defensive, but just being aware of kind of your actions.
But how does it fit in? We've talked many times on the show about the fact that nobody just drives anymore. They're either playing a video game, or they're texting, or they're grilling up meat. Sometimes you'll have a barbecue grill in your passenger seat. So nobody just drives anymore. So how does that change the atmosphere of driving?
No, I agree. I mean, I think it shifts your attention, like especially with, you know, technology and phones and so forth. I think people are just cramming so many things into their day, and they're multitasking. And when they're driving, they're forgetting what, you know, the most important task is to focus on the road and those around you. But I see it a lot up here in Seattle. I mean, it's terrible driving up here, especially with the weather. And, yeah, it's scary. I mean, I don't think I'm going to change the world, but I might be able to reach an audience out there of people that just aren't aware.
All right, I cut things to the very last second all the time. I'm not typically late for anything, but I'm always arriving right at like showtime and at times that I have to be somewhere. So I'm kind of in a hurry, but there are people that are way more in a hurry than me, and they're rude, and if someone has your turn signal on, why doesn't somebody just let you in? Is it going to make a difference to pause for 30 seconds to let someone in?
Yeah, I get it. I always let that person in.
I think too.
It's the person that cuts in front of you that doesn't put their blinker on. But yeah, people's true colors come out behind the wheel. It's pretty funny.
I was on our front porch yesterday, and I don't know if I have the permission to share this information, but there was a stop sign, and there was a delivery truck. And I guess it had whipped their water bottle out the window. It landed on the car behind them. So the car behind them is just honking at them.
Yeah.
It was my husband.
Oh.
So why do you throw something out of a moving car? I mean, just some of this etiquette thing is just common sense.
Yeah, that's what it is. But the scary part is I got two young kids that will be driving in a few years, and I don't think our days are getting any less stressful. And it's the stuff people are doing. I mean, you know, it's really scary. You know, for a father of two, I'm worried about my kids driving someday. It's people just don't use very good judgment.
So, Dirk, how do we if we have been wronged by another driver, how do we let them know that we don't appreciate it? There was a time, and it's in the Constitution. You could flip somebody off. It's in the U.S. Constitution. If somebody cuts you off, you flip them off, and then everybody goes on their merry way. But not anymore. Now it's dangerous to do that. So how do we let them know, hey, watch the way you're driving. You're dangerous.
You know, that's a great question. I don't really know if there's a good answer. I think any attempt you make can be translated to, you know, this guy or gal could freak out on just a simple gesture. So, you know, when I see it or I feel it, I just kind of, you know, I move over and I swallow my pride and try to put it in perspective. I don't really know what it is you can do. I guess perhaps you can write a book and hope there's an audience out there that starts cluing in to kind of what not to do.
Sure.
You know what I do now, honestly, if somebody will cut me off or does something really stupid, I will pass them and I don't even look at them. Yeah. I just look straight forward because I feel like they're waiting for me to look so they can lift their hands and go, what did you do?
Right.
I don't even look at them. That's the only solution I have is just keep your eyes straight forward and get past them.
Yeah, it's, oh man, I'm the same way. You make eye contact and then you never know who you're locking eyes with or what kind of day they're having. So it's dangerous. But this is just social etiquette. This is just treat others like you want to be treated. And what's amazing is what plays out on the roads would very rarely play out in real day life, like people cutting into your line or pushing you or whatever. And it's you know, I've analyzed it, of course, because I wrote a book on it, but I think it's one of the places in life where you can vent without having to take responsibility.
So does it play out differently because whoever's driving figures to themselves, well, I'm sitting in a box of steel. Nobody's going to push me. I got this big giant steel box that I'm in. Is that what it is? You feel?
I just think I can get away with venting and letting something out, and I don't know this person. I'll never see him again. Because I don't. Have you ever gotten mad at someone that you realized you knew, and then they saw you, and,
yeah, sure.
and you're like, "Wow, that's a reality check." And then you're really embarrassed.
Yep.
It was a former employee here that you got mad at one day, and then when you finally caught up to them.
Right. There was, I'm not going to mention names, but Brian Watercott one time on Lakeshore Drive was driving, he was texting and driving, and he was blindfolded at some point, and he was just driving, and it was a mess.
Is Chicago bad? I mean, you guys, I've been there a bunch. I love it, but is the driving there pretty crazy?
Yes.
It really is, and it's not just during rush hour.
All the time.
Okay.
And I know that Ranker.com recently ranked the U.S. cities with the worst road rage. Chicago comes in at number 7.
Right.
So we're in the top 10.
Well, I love that city. My dad grew up in South Bend, Indiana. So we used to go there all the time. I didn't see a lot of road rage there, but I could see with the numbers in Chicago, you probably experience it.
It's gotten worse. The worst city, according to Ranker, is Miami, Florida, but that's because most of the drivers can't see over the dashboard to see where they're driving.
Well, I've got a bunch of rules associated with the elderly. I'm not picking on any specific group, but there's a lot of patterns I see, and I hate to stereotype, but, you see certain things and you got to call them out.
Let's do this. We got to take a quick break. Let's go over some of your rules. The book is called Road Rage Justified, 50 Rules That Every Driver Should Follow, and it deals with road rage. His name's Dirk Neville. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Yes, we get hot-blooded when we're in our cars and somebody does something crappy to us, but you got to be careful because really the bottom line right now is I don't want to get shot.
Right.
Road rage escalates very quickly. Dirk Neville on the line with us. He's written a book called Road Rage Justified, 50 Rules Every Driver Should Follow. Before we get to some of your rules, which, by the way, this book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever your favorite bookstores are available, what is the top behavior reported from U.S. drivers? What is the top thing we're all guilty of doing? Yes.
Yeah.
Tailgating, I think, is the statistically the one that 51%, 104 million drivers, they say.
I've done it. I'll admit it.
Yeah.
I can't stand when someone in front of me is just going like 2 miles an hour.
Right.
And then you try to flash your brights. You try to honk. I don't know what's the proper thing. Then I try to just pass them. But it's so irritating.
That's tough.
All right, we have some callers that want to talk to you, and then we want to get to some of the rules that we should follow to make this world a happier driving place. We have John on the line. Hi, John. This is Dirk Neville.
What's going on, guys? Hey, you know what? I'm not insane or anything, but I like when I'm driving to go fast, all right?
Yeah.
And I think there should be one lane, the left-hand lane. You could slide it in, put concrete on each side of it. You just go fast as hell, because I hate the Barney Fife that gets in front of you is going to tell you that the speed limit is 55 miles an hour. And I'm going to hold you behind me and show you, that I'm going to go 55 miles an hour. So what about
I like the concrete on both sides of the road. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't care how you get me out of here. You can pick me up with a magnet and take me out to the exit, but just let me go as fast as I can in that left-hand lane.
Yeah, that's my number one pet peeve. And in Seattle, we're masters at driving the speed limit or maybe one or two over.
So
that's not enough.
Are everywhere.
Yeah, Illinois, we go a lot quicker than that. All right, John, we'll let you know when a crazy as hell lane is developed.
Thanks, Wendy. Later, guys.
We're pulling for you, John. Dirk, there was a time, and again, this is something they taught us back in driver's ed years and years ago, that the left lane is for passing. If you're going to go fast, it's the left lane. If you're going to go slow, it's the right lane. How did everybody on the planet seem to forget that?
Great question. I don't know. It's the number. It's the one I see most often. And the hardest part about it is it's the group of people that think they're actually making the road safer by, like, being a part-time cop.
Yeah.
And it's just, they don't. And then when you pass them and they look at you like, you're this crazy man, and that's just a logic that I'll never understand.
Well, how about this? A lot of times this will happen on a highway. Someone's in the left-hand lane, maybe doing the speed limit, maybe a few miles under, maybe a few miles over, and you're trying to pass, so you'll flash the brights as if to say, hey, I'm behind you, and I'd like to pass, and they still don't move.
That's not really an acceptable thing to do, though, quite
honestly.
To flash
them to get out of the way?
Yeah, that's not, like, part of the rules of the road. That's kind of rude. You're not really supposed to flash your brights.
Yeah, it's gray, right? So what I do is, you also don't want to tailgate, but there's kind of a, it's like dating. You got to... Few dates before, you know, you kind of let them know you're there, and maybe after a mile or two, you get a little closer, and, you know, sometimes people are in a zone, and they just kind of forget.
Right.
But the problem with, you know, it's like a simple gesture to you, your brights.
Right.
But that guy or that gal could have just lost their job, lost their spouse. I mean, You never know what someone's going through. So
right.
That's the problem with road rage is you can set someone off with a smirk.
So like dating, should you hold hands with them or tell them they look pretty?
Well, I'd say the verbal stuff should come like fifth or sixth date, holding hands. You know, it's just
take your time, pace yourself.
It takes time.
All right.
Ted's on the line. We talked about Bill flashing your brights, and I've done it too, but I don't think it's an acceptable thing to do. Ted, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I at once upon a time I thought it was a good idea, and then I did it, and it was a guy in an unmarked squad,
and he was in front of you.
Yikes!
Yeah. And, of course, you know, he pulled me over, and he's like, okay, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm late for perch. But anyway, he was just like, no go on that. And don't try that anywhere else, because you can just imagine how I feel. Imagine some guy who's not thinking straight, what's going to happen next there. I was like, you got a point.
No, I guess that does make sense.
Did he say if it was illegal or not? Because I think it is.
Why would I don't think it's illegal, is it?
Because you're distracting the person in front of you.
The funny part was he never really gave me a ticket because he kind of knew he was kind of blocking things up. But he says it's kind of a sign of aggressive driving.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, you just...
Then get out of my way.
Right. Make it easier on both of us and don't drive in my lane.
After the first comment, I didn't say anything.
If we all thought alike, it would be so much smoother. But I got pulled over about 2 weeks ago because I went around a guy and driving slow, and I gave the cop my book. And he started laughing and let me off. But
did you autograph it at least?
Yeah, I felt pretty good about that.
That works.
Ted, enjoy your perch. So thank you for calling.
Never know. I mean, you might trigger somebody in the wrong way.
All right. So, what are some of the things that you can tell us what we should do to prevent some of this?
Well, I think at the end of the day, just it's social etiquette. Just think about how you'd want to be treated. So, whether it's the merger, that's a little different, like a courtesy wave. I'm a big fan of that.
Yes.
If you're going to let someone in. Merging is a common one. I'd say buy the book because the truth is a lot of these rules, people are like, I never thought of this. And it's pretty simple stuff, but I think the ultimate common denominator is it's just being considerate and, not slowing people down, not trying to police them. Just kind of letting them do what they want to do. And when you're impeding that, I think that's where the rage comes.
We all need to be nicer. Come on. It's contagious. You know, when you're walking down the street and you smile at someone, you hope that they're going to smile at someone else, and then we spread smiles. If you let someone in and give them the motion, like, go ahead, then they're going to let someone in too. Don't you think it's contagious?
I do. Not with everybody. I think it's a good start. I really do. I think when you're in that mindset, you just, you're going to be happier and people around you are going to feel, I really do feel that. You're not always going to get it, but you just got to kind of look in the mirror and ask yourself, how you want to be treated. But again, I think a lot of folks just don't know these things. They were never taught. They just learn the laws, and these aren't necessarily laws. These are just kind of ways of being.
Sure, of course. This is kind of tied into road rage jerk to some extent. How long do you give a person, let's say you're waiting for a parking space, you're either on the street waiting for a parking space, you're in a shopping center, and somebody gets to their car and they're inside their car, how long of a time do you wait before you either honk or let them know, hey, come on, I'm waiting for the parking space?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I even have a rule associated with the person that's waiting for someone that sits in the middle, and then there's 10 cars behind them that have to wait for that person to back out.
Yeah.
But, people get in their car and they check their phones. And, I don't know what the magic number is, but Again, that's just an unawareness from the person. I mean, if they're getting in their car and they see a bunch of cars coming down the lane, I'm hoping they're catching a clue and picking up on that.
If they have a little kid that they're buckling into a seat, I get it. If it's an older person, I totally get it. It's going to take them a little more time. But I can't tell you how many times somebody is in that situation and they see there's somebody waiting for the space and they just say to themselves, I'm just going to take as much time as I need.
Yeah, that's the audience. I don't know if I can really reach them.
You
know?
You can't.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
Like, I got to pick and choose my battles.
Right. No, I get it.
According to the AAA Digest of Motor Laws here in Illinois, the high beams should be off when your vehicle is 500 feet from an oncoming vehicle. And when approaching a vehicle from behind, the high beam lights should be off 300 feet from the rear of the vehicle. So it very well may be illegal to do it.
Possibly. I just don't know how to convey to them, you're in the passing lane and you're not passing anybody, and there's several of us who want to pass, so slide down a lane.
You're just going to have to go around them. But then can we get a ticket passing in the right lane? That's my question.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think
so. No, you mean if someone's in front of you and you pass them around the right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, can't get a ticket. That's what happened when I got pulled over because I was... I was probably speeding, but I'm not perfect. I make mistakes too. But I told the cop, I'm like, you guys never pull over the guy going 54 and a 55. He goes, I do. I'm like, I've never seen it, but yeah, you can get a ticket, I guess. And if you aggressively kind of cut in on that guy to prove your point,
that's
where you can get in trouble.
All right.
Well, I know you have two young kids. I have an 18-year-old who still hasn't gotten his license. One of your 20-year-olds hasn't, correct?
Right.
So I don't think kids are in a hurry to drive like we were when we were 16.
Yeah, I don't think kids even know. I mean, I think they're so focused on their technology, but I think you need years of experience to kind of relate to kind of frustration and road rage. To be honest, because you kind of learn what bugs you. But I think the young kids are great age to tack, because if they can start doing these things, I think the roads will be safer for us all.
We appreciate talking to you. Dirk Nivelle, maybe your dad would like Road Rage Justified, 50 Rules Every Driver Should Follow for Father's Day. You can go to roadragejustified.com. Dirk, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Take care. All right, a quick break, some news, and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Huff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we invite you to jump in at any point during the show with any questions or comments. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us, you can text us. There's something that happened yesterday and now into today that I've kind of flip-flopped a little bit on. The more I thought about it, I kind of changed my mind, and I'm anxious to see if you feel the same way. We know what happened yesterday in Virginia and how awful it is, and it continues to be awful. Mr. Scalise is in serious condition. Yesterday when he got shot, it's always bad to be shot, but it seemed like they would just do a quick surgery and he'd be up and around and everything would be fine, but it has not turned out that way.
Because it hit internal organs as it went through his hip.
Yep. All right. So yesterday there was a little bit of debate about tonight's baseball game on whether or not it should be played. And I thought right away, my first impulse was, probably not. They should probably not go through with this. It's what took place yesterday was tragic and sad. And why would you want to go and not necessarily celebrate it, but kind of just, play through. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, no, it's probably more important to not be stopped by something like this.
I did not hear any reports of them thinking about canceling it.
There was, just for a little while in the daytime, they were still kind of tentative about what would or wouldn't take place tonight.
It does take place tonight, and they're hoping to triple the attendance because they're trying to raise money for several charity groups.
Well, initially, this is obvious, because there was no incident when they set this up, I think the bulk of the money was going to go to England for what's happened in London, but there were other charities involved. But now part of the charity is what happened yesterday. They've included that.
I don't know what that means. What charity?
Well, they're putting money aside for what took place in Virginia. Like maybe they'll somehow fund whatever happened. I guess insurance would cover whatever the people would need who were injured, right? It would have to.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I was surprised to hear that they've done this for like 108 years. They've had this baseball game.
Yeah.
And I thought softball, too. They're playing baseball.
They play baseball.
And then I also heard that there's some congressional women's group today doing some softball practicing, and they upped the security at this particular incident. That's something I was thinking about because, as Steve Bertrand mentioned, and you as well yesterday, if Scalise was not there being the House Majority Whip, there wouldn't have been people. They would have had to wait for the Alexandria police to come.
Right.
And the response time was like 3 to 4 minutes, so it was pretty quick, but still a lot could happen in that time.
Right.
Shouldn't something where all these congressional members... Shouldn't there have been more security to begin with? Not even expecting something to happen.
Just in case.
Yeah, they're all together, unarmed, without even cell phones.
Yeah, I guess so. Although I don't know how you would get... You can't have security everywhere, right? That's impossible. So what has to happen for them to justify them adding extra security? You know, I saw a list of the names of the people that were there. So would just that list of names alone, would somebody put in and say, hey, we've got a lot of important people in a place?
I think so. Yeah. It's all the...
Yeah, I guess so.
A bunch of Congress there.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It just seems... And they're completely vulnerable and, you know, out in the open, again, playing baseball. So even if they carry a gun, they're not going to have it on their person while they're playing, and they probably don't have their cell phone to call 911.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago when the Ariana Grande concert was interrupted by the attack, she decided she was going to go back and do a benefit concert to help the victims. And a bunch of other big name people came on board as well. And even in that case, I thought to myself, boy, if I'm her, I'd be so reluctant to come back. But then you almost have to. It's like what happened with September 11th when people said, if you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't do that, you're kind of letting the terrorists win. It's kind of a flavor of that, isn't it?
Yeah,
you can't
absolutely.
Just stop doing things.
Mm-mm.
So I am like at first yesterday, I'm like, boy, if I was involved with that game, if I was either playing or had planned on going to that game, I'd be really reluctant to go. Even though they had gotten the guy who did the shooting, it would still feel kind of tainted to go to this game or participate in it. But then the more I thought about it yesterday, it's like, no, you know what? You can't stop doing that stuff.
No, you certainly can't. And people were wondering, I heard John Williams talking about this yesterday with Steve Bertrand. Like, he wants to watch it now. Will it be televised? I don't know that it was originally.
I don't think it was
supposed
to
be. But now C-SPAN will televise the congressional baseball game for charity, and it's being played as scheduled at Nationals Park.
Oh, all right. Talk about a major venue. I mean, really, that probably holds 45,000 people. Probably, I don't know that they'll get 45,000 people. I do think, though, that they will get a much bigger crowd now, don't you?
Yeah, just to show solidarity and just to show support and to show that this was not right what happened.
Right.
I didn't realize they've been doing it for
108
years.
Yeah, it gets, here in the Midwest, it gets little to no press. But in Washington and the states surrounding Washington, it's a pretty big deal every year, but... I don't know. It doesn't hold that kind of interest to us here in the Midwest for some reason, or most of the country. This year, of course, a different story for obvious reasons. But good. I'm glad they're going through with it.
Yeah, I would be hesitant, although I'm sure they will think differently and there will be more security at these things in the future.
Yeah.
You can't predict what's going to happen. We talked about this yesterday, too. Even if somebody looks the type to do something, you can't pinpoint that somebody is...
Right.
Same with the UPS guy who had filed grievances and was mad that he was getting overtime hours and went to the workplace. And I mean, there are people disgruntled every day.
Sure.
You don't imagine that they're going to come back and do something.
Right. All right. We'll take a quick break and then a lot more to discuss. If you want to jump in, you know how to reach us, right? It's 312-981-7200. That's our call line and our text line. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, we were talking about the congressional baseball game. I can't read. Congressional baseball game is what it's called. It started.
Catchy name. Isn't it?
Yes.
It's tonight where the Washington Nationals normally play.
They have raised sometimes up to $600,000 for charity. And they're hoping to get more donations because of this. They're hoping to get a bigger crowd. I did not hear yesterday, but you said that there were some questions about whether or not the game should be played. And I can see where
right after the shooting, they were, anytime they would refer to the game, they'd say which was scheduled to be played tomorrow night. So they were, there was a little bit of debate. But upon further review, they realized it's a good idea, and it is a good idea.
And if you want to view it, it was not going to be televised before C-SPAN. Check your local listing where C-SPAN is, because I don't know who watches it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I can't just rattle off that number on my system. But they will be airing it, and that's later on tonight. Hi, Tyler.
Hi.
What are your thoughts on this?
I'm kind of with you guys. I think it's kind of a message of solidarity. Like, I don't know, I think we're, not to sound like a raging nationalist or anything, but I think it kind of shows that we're America and it takes more than this to deter us and set us off our given course.
Oh, without a doubt. And this is one of those games, as much disagreement and dissentment as there can be between the two parties, this is one of those days that they kind of put those differences aside and they just want to go out there and play America's favorite pastime. So, yeah, to not play it would really be probably an awful message, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tyler, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Somebody said, we're getting some texts as well. It is ironic that the congressman, Senate Majority Whip, Steve Scalise, is that his name? Steve, I don't know his first name. He was the only one with the security detail, and he's the only person that was seriously
hurt.
Isn't
that strange?
It is ironic.
Yeah, I don't know how it played out that way. And from what I heard yesterday, and again, we talked about this part of the story yesterday, and I guess this is true because they kept saying it on almost every news source, is that the shooter was asking people at the beginning, are these Democrats or are these Republicans, before he started shooting. So the whole thing is very strange. If he was the one with the security, you would almost think he'd be the safest one there, but it all happened so quickly that I didn't.
Did you guys happen to see the video of it?
Yeah.
Because it went on. I mean, there was just a barrage of bullets for 10 minutes. So I don't think it mattered where you were. It just was, the bullets were just flying everywhere.
Right.
So
right.
I just think he just happened to be in that specific wrong place at the wrong time.
But Kim, there's no reason to believe that he had centered out Scalise. He was a guy that was close to him when the shooting started, right?
I mean, I can't say for sure, but if you just see the video and you hear all the bullets flying, it just,
it's chaotic.
You know, it was chaos, and anybody could have gotten hit anywhere.
You know what's scary to me is that there have been several political members that have said once they heard the shots and realized what was going on and someone screamed out, run, there's a shooter.
Yeah.
They went into the dugout. And if this perpetrator was not taken down, they were just sitting ducks there.
Right.
But I know you would go for shelter.
Well, was it Rand Paul who said at some point you had to make the decision, do I want to lay down in the field and not be as big of a target, or do I want to just quickly try to run somewhere farther away from this? You know, it's a split-second decision. You're trying to figure out which is the safest alternative there.
And Sean has a comment, and I think we kind of touched on it. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I mean, for most of the accounts that I've been hearing, he was out in the outfield, you know, when he got shot.
Second base, I'm hearing. Second base, yeah, and he pulled himself out into
the grass in the outfield.
Right. So, you know, I mean, the security detail, if he's in the field, isn't going to be glued to his side.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But, I mean, those Capitol officers, I mean, God knows this could have been a heck of a lot worse had they not been there.
Right.
Because, you know, at least you've got somebody engaging immediately as opposed to waiting for the response.
Yep. Yep. It made a big difference yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thanks.
And, Bill, you can field this question because I love when we get these texts. Are you ready? 312-981-7200. Why aren't you talking about the insane leftist media that filled this Democrat's head with mush to go off and do something like this? Is this for real? Because, seriously, you know, when Kathy Griffin was holding the head of President Trump and when this guy is doing this, how does that represent a Democrat or a liberal view? who condones this type of behavior?
This is a guy with obvious mental problems.
And with Kathy Griffin, everyone's like, you know, you lib, I'm sick of being called this and a snowflake. You know what? I didn't think what she did was appropriate. And, you know, just because we're kind of leaning the same way doesn't mean that we all think the same. Why is everybody grouped together like that?
I can't answer that.
I thought you could. That's why I gave you the text.
I can't even come close to answering that. This was a guy with mental deficiencies. He was a troubled man. And no matter which political affiliation he had, what he did yesterday was horrible. I don't think we would have been talking about it any more or less if he was a Republican, if he was a member of the Whig Party. No matter what political affiliation he would have had, what he did was the product of him not being quite right in the head.
And again, it's not like the media is filling his head with stuff. Here's a weird thing. You can go on the internet and look things up and find information, because I've seen people post things on Facebook that isn't even true. But it's like, if you see it on the internet, sure, you're going to copy and paste that on your Facebook page. So right, he did his own work, and I refuse to be grouped together with something like that. Eli, I mentioned more security when a bunch of congressional leaders are on their off time doing something. I don't know. To me, that kind of makes sense. You're taking issue with that?
Yeah. Hi, Wendy. First of all, and Steve, I would like to meet you one day if I can.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we can work something out.
Set that up.
Bill has to chaperone, though.
I got stuff.
Thank you. Every time something happens, if it's London or anywhere in the world, I get very upset because I'm from Israel.
Yeah.
And every time I think they need more security, just more security, because it just bothers me. Every time I hear something happen, it kills me. I wish they had more security. And I just want to say that, and I love you guys, and I listen to you all the time, and I would like to meet you one day.
Right. Yeah, I know, I heard that already.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead. But there's a but coming.
Yeah.
There should be more security. I don't mean my butt.
Oh, I thought it was yours.
You focus, Eli?
Oh, I thought that was yours. All right.
Yes, I mean they should have more security.
But oh, so you agree with that?
You know that. Thank you.
But you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible to put security on all these guys 24 hours a day. Let's say it was
Correct.
Just one of these guys. It was
Correct.
One politician who was by himself somewhere, and somebody did something. Somebody took a shot at him. You couldn't. It, as much as it would be nice to be able to provide that, it's impossible.
And believe me, guys, I work at the airport. I work at United Airlines. I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
I wish there was more security. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking, because I get very upset about those.
No, I don't blame you. You
thank
should
you
be.
Guys.
All
stay
right.
safe,
thank
Eli,
guys.
Okay?
Thank you, hon. Thank you.
All right.
Call me hon.
That was subtle, but he did call you hon. And you
what was subtle after saying I'd really like to meet you?
You should have lunch with him and discuss security. I think you're cheating yourself and you're cheating him. You're cheating the listeners. All right. We'll take
no,
a quick.
No, I'm not.
I think you are. And there should be plenty of security at that lunch.
Yeah.
Plenty. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then news is next, and then Patrick McDonald comes on. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Friday Eve, and it's warm out there. You have a right to bear arms.
Oh, Felicia, you in the summer, there's nothing better than that.
WGN News Time, 11:36:56.
Fantastic. Thanks, Felicia. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Felicia Middlebrook. It's Patrick McDonald.
It's
roundtable
plural.
Discussion.
I'm several Brooks, not just one.
You are many Brooks. You are many Brooks. Patrick, a couple things. First of all, thank you for being here. Patrick McDonald, as you all know, is the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's also the chief guide over at Chicago Film Tour.
Yes.
If you want to see all the greatest places in the city where anything's ever been filmed, you want to visit ChicagoFilmTour.com.
Right. And we're running both days this week. We
are.
12:30. So,
excellent.
How do you sign up for that?
312-593-4455 or ChicagoFilmTour.com.
Either will work. Either will work. I don't know if you saw this. It's not on our list of topics, but I thought that this was a pretty important moment. Yesterday, Elizabeth Banks, a fine, fine actress,
yes,
called out Steven Spielberg and said Steven Spielberg has made a bunch of great movies, but for one reason or another, he refuses to have a woman be the lead character in a movie of his.
Interesting.
And somebody called her out and said, oh, wait a minute, how about The Color Purple? Which is true.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is he's made 40 movies,
right,
and in only one of them has the lead character been a woman. That ain't right. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, creative artists have the right, if they're creating a profit for the show business industry to pick their subjects.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is the summer of the woman director, the summer of women, and it's been a great thing for both cultural aspects and, of course, superhero aspects with Wonder Woman.
Right.
I feel that, you know, the human experience needs a broader sense, no pun intended.
Yeah. But you're still pretty proud of yourself.
It is pretty good. But really, if you're directing a movie and you're coming up with, if you're writing a movie and there's no woman in it, right. that's your business.
But he's made
it?
More movies where the lead character is a space alien than he has a woman. That doesn't seem right, does it?
That ain't right. That
what
ain't
about
right?
A space alien woman?
That would be something.
Yes.
I'd like to see that movie.
Yes.
Is there yeah. pervy?
I just met Felicia Millbrooks. That's what made me laugh. So.
Oh. I'm pretty great, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Yep.
Maybe Spielberg will make a movie based on her.
I would love that.
It would just from be you Gary announcing Indiana. What time it is all the time.
Time Traveler.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's a great movie. So should he feel guilty? Should he say? Should Steven Spielberg
should.
Say to himself, well, you definitely should. You definitely should. But should he say, I'm one of the most accomplished film directors in the world? I don't think
he should broach that subject, quite frankly. I just say, hey, it is what it is. You know, I pick my projects based on the creative forces that I'm interested in, and that's what makes the bread for the industry. So
what say he comes out with
I'm
a new movie next year featuring a woman in the lead?
That'd be all right. That'd be fine.
I mean, the message is sent, so, you know, Spielberg, he's always up for a challenge.
Being a woman, I hate to be included because I'm a woman. You know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean, but there's an imbalance, and I think you'll remember this. Jessica Chastain did this at a film festival a couple months ago. She was talking about how...
Film critics, yeah.
Right. Go ahead. You want to take that?
Well, again, the film critic core is 80% geeky men, 10% normal men, and 10% women. No,
yeah.
Which is true because they're going to see a movie differently than a man will.
Exactly. Everybody's experience is different, and definitely a woman would see. The praise for Wonder Woman in the film critics, female film critics Twitter page has been overwhelming because this is the, the superhero movie that they've been waiting for.
Right. And it was made by a woman. It just shows
exactly.
It doesn't have to be a guy at the helm.
Exactly.
A woman can do just as good, if not a better job.
$444 million so far, so it's good.
Why doesn't Miss Chastain, what's her first name?
Jessica.
Why doesn't she become a critic then?
It's possible.
Oh, maybe.
She'd take a pay cut.
But she even talked about how roles for women are, and we already know this, they're not as diverse as they are for men. And
well, I mean, you know, that's diversity in the human experience is all over the place.
Yeah.
Men, women, space aliens.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. All right, since you mentioned Wonder Woman, let's talk about this.
Yes.
Have you seen it yet, Bill?
I've still not. Have you?
My.
No, we were supposed to go last night,
gosh,
and we didn't.
I'm anxious to see it. But no one expected it to be the juggernaut that it is.
Nobody did. I it's just really caught the zeitgeist.
I mean,
it's right in the middle of it. It's great. It's a great movie. I gave it 4.5 out of 5. I loved
it's pretty
it.
Pretty good.
And I'm just saying that, it was blessed along the way. That's one of the topics I put in, you know, that Linda Carter was a consultant of Patty Jenkins while she was making the film. Because she really embraces that character and wanted it to be the type of experience for women that was going to be what she tried to do with the 70s series.
Yeah.
So.
Although the 70s series was a little hokey. Come on.
Yeah. It's
much
more comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Much more comic. But I didn't like when they made it modern. You know, they took it from the 40s to the modern era.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But much like, you know, we've talked so much about Batman this week because of the death of Adam West.
True.
There's different versions of most of these superhero figures. You sometimes get the very dark, dreary versions of it, like we've seen with Christian Bale's version of Batman. And sometimes it's the more pop culture-y version. And Linda Carter's version of Wonder Woman
pop culture
was extremely pop culture.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Good point, Bill.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Since we've mentioned Adam West,
yes.
You wanted to talk a little bit about his film career. People don't know this.
His varied film career.
He's in some crazy movies. Robinson Crusoe in Outer Space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Mars. Not just outer space, on Mars.
Right.
Be more specific.
He's in Mars.
Well, you know, he made his film debut while he was still in the Army with Voodoo Island, which was a Boris Karloff film. He lived in Hawaii, so he got a little walk-on as an announcer. And then 2 years later, he decides to move to Hollywood. What's his first movie? A Paul Newman film, The Young Philadelphians.
Mm-hmm. A really good movie.
Yes. Noted as one of those 50s classics.
Yeah.
And here he is. That's his debut film.
Yeah.
Wasn't it interesting to see some of those sitcom people in those classic films, like Dick York in Inherit the Wind?
Yeah. It always takes you back when you see somebody that you know from a sitcom, and all of a sudden they're playing a dramatic role.
Hey, what's Batman doing in, you know, on Fantasy Island? But he did the Burt Reynolds movie in the 70s, Hooper. Remember that one?
Adam West?
Yes, yeah. He played like the kind of, he played sort of himself because Hooper was a stunt guy.
Right.
And, you know, Adam West played like a hyper version of himself.
Oh, I don't remember
that. That was a good movie. I got to revisit that.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
is Terry Bradshaw also in that?
I think he is, right?
Yeah.
So is Sally Fields.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, right.
That was a cute movie, didn't
you?
Hooper
was good. Yeah.
And Hal Needham, you know. Yeah. And then he did the Skinamax genre for a while.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
What?
He did the Xavier Hollander movie.
Happy Hooker Goes to Washington. Hollywood.
Hollywood, yeah.
Mr. Smith went to Washington.
Oh, right.
the Happy Hooker went elsewhere.
I couldn't remember who went where. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did Lady Charlie 2 as well.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
The Cinemax in After Dark
in his Batman outfit.
Well, just the tights.
Right.
Poor Adam West. As I told you off the air, I still can't believe he was 88 years old. He didn't act 88. Yeah. He really had his wits about him.
Beautiful
as
thing.
Cool as could be.
Yeah, and he was, you know, from the Silver Age, basically, you know, the Paul Newman era.
Yeah.
And he lives to tell about it.
A couple of years ago at the Comic-Con in Rosemont, I turned a corner, and he and Burt Ward are just standing there. And I, you know, I've been a fan since I was 3 years old, and I wasn't expecting to turn a corner and have them both just standing there, but there they were. And it was just a quick hello. I didn't have time to do anything else.
You didn't
take
pictures or anything?
No, I just said, hi, guys. And they said hi to me. Hey, it's me.
That's adorable.
Hi, Batman and Robin. It's me, Bill. So there was just that. But the only thing I could do was, and now at the time he was 84 or 85 years old, is I knelt down and I prayed and I said, please, when I'm 84 or 85, let me be one-tenth as cool as this guy is.
Exactly, exactly. Playing a character like Mayor Adam West on Family Guy.
Yeah.
You know, Burt Ward could play Wayne Manor now. He's so Zoptic.
He has found cookies.
He gained weight, I guess you're saying.
He put on a couple pounds.
You guys are so superficial.
He's much younger than Adam West, but Adam West was in just excellent shape.
Yeah, all pure West.
Yeah, that's what he called it. That's how he referred to it. But he was tan and in good shape.
I don't need a rubber suit. Right. It's all pure West.
Well, he did that on Big Bang Theory. Because they asked him on Big Bang Theory.
Sheldon met him or something?
Yes, of course.
The whole gang met him. Okay. And they asked him about how Christian Bale would have to say, I'm Batman. And then Adam West goes, I never had to tell anybody I was Batman. I just showed up and people knew.
Good reward.
Oh, wow.
Or Adam West, rather.
Yeah, I think you should do the rest of the show as Felicia Adam West. And Adam West.
All right.
It's Adam and Felicia.
You'll get your wish.
On the podcast.
All right, we must take a break. Patrick McDonald is here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Welcome to Bill and Wendy's Disco Party. Patrick McDonald has the dance floor right now. Film critic for HollywoodChicago.com.
And a chief tour guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com, 312-593-4455 is their number. Boy, there's a lot opening this week. Let's start out with Cars 3. Is this a sequel to Cars or Cars 2, Patrick?
I would say it's a sequel to Cars 1.
It is.
Yes,
right.
Because I didn't see the second one, but somebody told me it was a spy story. So
I loved the original Cars movie. It was fantastic.
Well, this is right in that same vein. You know, they're kind of reminiscing about Paul Newman because he played the old car in the first one.
Was that his last movie role?
I'd have to look that up.
It was either his last or his second Oilers.
Yeah. As a voiceover thing. But now Chris Cooper is taking that role.
Oh, he is?
Perfect,
he's really good.
A perfect replacement. Of course, Owen Wilson, Larry the Cable Guy, which, you know, Larry the Cable Guy, is he going to be Larry the Digital Box Guy
now? Oh, good question.
Yeah, let's very talk good about question. That.
But he and Paul Newman, in my opinion, should have done more films together because that's one of those
exactly.
can't-miss duos from
they
film.
They could have done a buddy picture. And,
yeah.
That would have been something.
Yep.
But, it goes back to the first film. Now, I don't know if an 8-year-old would like this.
It's not for kids?
Well, I'm not saying it's not for kids, but the story is about Owen Wilson as the car coming to a retirement age. So they're all kind of gathering the old folks, gathering the new people, you know, the new kids on the block. So, like a kid, I don't know if they have the perception of somebody replacing you when you're older.
Oh, maybe.
You know, I don't know. I just judge it from that end. So I gave that 3 out of 5.
That's a cute little story. Better get Mako.
But the animation's good. I mean,
yes.
They always do
a
good.
God.
It's
Pixar
always colorful.
Just, it's an amazing movie
and
to
Pixar
watch.
And Pixar has a way. They have figured out a way to appeal to every age bracket.
Yes,
right.
And that, they're definitely going for that in this one.
And right, the vibrant colors. Really.
Always. It's so beautiful.
All right, so Cars 3 out of 5.
Of animation. The Book of Henry, 3.5 out of 5. A very unusual film with Naomi Watts and Jacob Tremblay from the Room. Sarah Silverman's in it, and Jaden Levier plays the easy for me to say as plays the title character Henry, and it's about a boy genius. Now I'm not big on boy genius films because again they show Naomi Watts to be a waitress, and where does the kid get the stimulation to be a genius? That's always my question.
Was his father a genius?
It's possible.
Oh, we don't
it's
know.
It's possible.
I think geniuses are self-made when they're
really?
Born.
Yeah,
I do.
Even if they grow up in like poverty and never don't go to the right schools,
I think it's
nature and nurture.
I think it contributes to both, but I mean there are just kids that are born like Bill Leff, for instance, whose brain is just so big.
Right.
But they, you know, kids like that, they just look at things differently. They question things.
Yeah.
I think it has something to do with, you know, genetics and how you're born with it.
Nature
Maybe.
Versus nurture this weekend on Amy Guth. Okay.
So they never showed, like in Good Will Hunting, you never meet Matt Damon's parents, do you? You don't know where his genius came from.
Right, and yet he's, you know, he seems to come from Southie.
Right.
You know, and he gets into a lot of fights. So where does his absorption of genius, you know, he reads one book and then he has it.
Yeah.
Remember, he talks about the economies of the 1776 era.
Right, all right. So this is flawed, you found.
I was flawed with the boy genius angle, and then he leaves a book behind for his mother because he gets ill.
Mm.
Leaves a book behind for his mother, Naomi Watts, and then it becomes a Hitchcockian thriller.
Oh.
Which is very, very interesting and very intriguing. It keeps building and building, and you don't exactly know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it does the typical thing in Hitchcock where they have a timer, and then suddenly we're going back and forth between the scenes.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really, really intriguing in that way. Now, this is the guy who did the new Jurassic Park reboot.
Yeah.
Colin Trevorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And he also did Safety Not Guaranteed, which was a huge, interesting cult film about time travel.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, this, it has its flaws, but I'm giving it the 3.5 out of 5.
That's the Book of Henry.
That's the Book of Henry. And the hero with the great Sam Elliott. Perfect score. 5 out of 5. Sam Elliott plays an old cowboy hero who gets a diagnosis. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
He gets a diagnosis that is bad. And at the same time, he becomes a YouTube sensation. So suddenly his career trajectory is going up. At the same time, he has to deal with the regrets of life because of his diagnosis.
Perfect choice
choice.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's always good, isn't he?
And they start the movie with him at the microphone doing the voice.
Yeah.
You know, barbecue sauce.
So he was born,
you can do it better, Sam Elliott.
He was born for this. Right?
He was.
Yeah.
And he shows...
For people who don't know who he is, he has played an aging cowboy in other movies before.
And he has that epic mustache. And he has that voice.
And married to Catherine Ross, right? From The Graduate?
Are they married?
I think so.
She's in the film as his wife.
Yeah, then I
did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know
that.
Okay. Bill, trivia is his middle name.
Yeah, I know some stuff.
Does he know the co-star who played the Happy Hooker in Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood?
Didn't, was it Redgrave? It was...
yes, it was Lynn Vanessa. Redgrave.
Lynn Redgrave, yeah.
Exactly.
How about that?
Dang it, I can never stump him. Never.
I am never more proud
how about that?
Than moments like these.
Now, there's a couple of other films
yes.
that are also opening that you did not see
right,
yet.
Right,
right.
Rough Night with, that would be Scarlett Johansson. It's basically a remake of Very Bad Things from 1998.
Oh.
Remember the bachelor party that
I
goes awry?
That thing.
Well, this is the bachelorette party that goes awry because one of the dancers, I believe, gets murdered. It's
really?
The same thing, yeah. Or accidentally dies in their presence or something.
Yeah.
And so another...
Isn't Kate McKinnon in this?
Oh, she's in everything.
She's
so
in
yes,
a lot of stuff.
I
yeah.
she
a dramatic role?
I don't think it's dramatic. It's supposed
yeah.
to be played for comedy.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
the
okay.
woman who did Broad City mm-hmm. on Comedy Central, who's a director. So
mm-hmm.
Also, Shark Movie, 47 Meters Down. Mandy Moore, Claire Holt, and the
this
great
looks good.
Matthew Modine. That's right. They're in a shark cage.
I love Mandy Moore because of This Is Us.
Yeah.
I love her.
This looks pretty good. I hope this is a good movie. I know you haven't seen it yet, but
I'm
hoping it's good.
Yes, I am hoping it's good, too.
All right, so something for everybody
yes.
At theaters this weekend. Patrick, always good to see you. Thanks so
always.
Much for being by. It's Patrick McDonald again, chicagofilmtour.com, 312-593-4455.
1230 this weekend.
Yep, thank you, Patrick. A quick break and then some news. We'll find out what Steve has next, Bill and Wendy WGN.